second. But Brother Ben Gordon is my witness. Evan was supposed to be a third. I had that promise, but maybe the next one can be a third. I don't know if there is such a thing. But he was supposed to be my third. But simple message this evening, some may not get it. It's one that we need to understand, but many do not. It's one that, as simple as it is, will take a lifetime to master. Very difficult to master. It's just simply the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find the story of David and Goliath. We know the story. We know how large he is. We don't need to review that. We know most of the story, and we won't read most of the story. But in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 10, the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." He was looking for a man to destroy. He was looking for someone to destroy. That's what he was trained to do, and that's what he wanted to do. Since his youth, he was trained to destroy men. That's what he was to do. He said, "Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That is his purpose. That you would be dismayed and greatly afraid. But I found that I have needed a lesson in who Goliath is. Who is Goliath? Who is he? Can you identify the enemy? Who is this Goliath? The New Testament, Ephesians 6, we won't turn there, tells us, we know the verse, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." We know that Goliath is not a person. He's not a person. We're not looking for a person. That's not our enemy. People are not our enemies. I got all fired up. Brother Ryan was preaching. We have Tuesday night services at the nursing home, and he was preaching on this passage, and I read verse 46, and I got fired up. I mean, I got revived. Verse 46, David's words to that Philistine, he said, "This day," today, not tomorrow, not someday, "this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air." He said, "Today I'm going to kill you, today I'm going to take your head off, and today I'm going to give your body and all your friends' bodies to the birds." That got me excited. I thought, tomorrow, whatever comes my way, I'm going to rip its head off and I'm going to feed it to the birds. I was excited. I mean, I was. I woke up in the morning. I said, "This day I come in the name of the Lord, and whatever comes my way, I'm going to rip its head off and I'm going to feed it to the birds." I was excited. I was ready to go. One problem. I did not know who Goliath was. I did not know. I loaded up my trailer. If you ever seen it, it's a piece of work. Loaded it up and headed off to work. I got headed down four lanes of Mitchell Street, just newly paved in Cadillac. Come visit, it's nice. Headed down the four lanes, come over the railroad tracks, and my trailer comes unhooked, full of my tools. I chased it down. I got in front of it. I stopped it in the other lane of the oncoming traffic. Left a nice gouge across the brand new asphalt there. Ground the little thing off the bottom of my trailer that holds it up when I unhook it. And I thought, I'm not going to be discouraged. I hooked it back on and I pulled into the Glenn's parking lot and I started working on it, trying to make sure it'd get where I needed to go. Got it all. I changed the ball on my truck. I tightened up the nut underneath the receiver, and I tried to get everything to where it seemed a little better, a little tighter. Thought it was all good to go. Closed the back door on my trailer, and the glass shattered all over the parking lot. And I started laughing because I realized who Goliath was. That day, he was discouragement. That day, he was a bad attitude. He was bewilderment, he was discouragement, and he was coming after me. And I laughed. I had not lost my mind. I laughed because I said, you're not going to get me. I'm going to rip your head off today, and I'm going to feed you to the birds. And what began as discouragement turned into something pretty funny, really. Turned into a good story to tell. But we see the effect that he had on Saul and his armies. They were dismayed in verse number 11, and they were greatly afraid. And so what were they doing? They were hiding in their foxholes. They were hiding. They couldn't do anything. But notice verse 32, what David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. He didn't say, don't let anybody die because of him. He said, let no man's heart fail because of him. See, that is the danger. That's the danger that Goliaths pose in our lives. Discouragement, your heart failing. And there's a number of ways our hearts fail. They fail through discouragement. They can fail through bitterness and division. They can fail in many ways. But you need to be able to recognize who it is. Who is Goliath? He's not a person. You know, the kids, we have four of them, and things can get crazy. But they're not the Goliath, you know. Don't let anybody hear you say, I'm going to rip your head off and feed you to the birds. They're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. Your wife or your husband, not the enemy. Not Goliath. He's not the one. Division, that's the enemy. You come into the Lord's house, problems are going to be there. Because Satan needs division. You come in and he's going to create things. You need to say to yourself, division, I'm going to rip your head off and I'm going to feed you to the birds. Not in my church. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to allow it. Not in my home. You need to identify who Goliath is if you're going to survive. I have never thought about who Goliath was. I just like the idea that the underdog won. Because I've always been the underdog. I like that idea. I'm going to win. But we need to know, what are we fighting against? What is the enemy? There are many things that come. Hebrews chapter number 12. We speak of bad economic times. It just seems to be the topic of every single day and every single newscast. Total financial ruin is not the enemy. It's what you do with it. Success can be a bad thing, but it is not the enemy either. It's what you do with it. Disease, not the enemy. It's what you do with it. You know, I'm scared to death of success. I really am. I'm scared to death of success because I don't want to neglect my family. I don't want to, between pastoring and working, I don't want to neglect my family. And I've said to the monster of neglect, I'm going to rip your head off. I'm not going to have neglect in my home. It's not going to be there. I'm going to rip your head off. I'm not going to let that happen. I want to be with my family. I want to be a father and do the right things. But there are many different things, and we need to properly identify the enemy. Properly identify what it is. In Hebrews 12, the first few verses deal with discouragement. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There's another passage that says you have need of patience, that after you've done well, that you would wait for God's promises, that you would wait for his blessings. There's so many things that come to our lives, great, great trials. Some of you have weathered terrible storms. One of the enemies, when you weather terrible, discouraging storms, is being angry at God. Being angry about what he's doing in your life. That's an enemy. You need to deal with that. You know, there are some things that happen in our lives that are bad, but they're not as bad as turning your back on God. Peter, you might think that he failed his test. You know, he turned his back on the Lord. But you know, the Lord said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. You know, you might get some cuts and some bruises, but that's altogether different than turning your back completely on the Lord and never. That wasn't the end of the book for Peter. His faith didn't fail. The Lord prayed for him. He stumbled, he fell, he made some mistakes. There are many things that may come into our midst, into our churches, into our homes, and they in and of themselves are bad, but they're not the enemy. It's what we do. It's how we think about them. Our problems that come our way. Later on in chapter number 12 of Hebrews, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Help one another. Encourage one another. We don't practice that the way we should. Regularly encouraging one another. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, bitterness is an awful Goliath. Oh, it's a terrible one. You've got to fight that one. Bitterness, division. I'm thankful Tom Krause and I have had a terrific relationship since the beginning of the mission work. We've had such great fellowship and great things, but there have been times that we both have seen Satan try to get between us. And our relationship in the beginning has been very pivotal to that mission work. And yet we have seen where Satan has made one of us think something that wasn't quite right, and the other one thinks something, and then we're both too afraid to really, we're both timid people, so we won't talk to each other about it. And finally, one day we break down and we have a talk, and life is good, and the friction's gone, and we realize, and we've said to each other, Satan has been trying to get us, and we're just not going to let it happen. We've got a good relationship, and there's a lot riding on this. And our relationship, and Satan wants us, and he's not going to get us. We're not going to let it happen. And we determined long ago from the very beginning that we were going to keep communication open. If there was anything, we were going to talk about it and not let Satan do that. I have nothing but great love and respect for Brother Tom and he for me, and we'd do anything for each other, and never really had anything to speak of between us, but Satan will try anything, especially between the pastor and his right-hand man. He'll try to do that. He'll try to divide. There's so many ways that he comes at us, through our jobs and through our employers and through our bosses, and all he has to do is win the battle of your mind. Amen. You're sitting around worrying. Worry. Oh, that's a big Goliath. Doubt. Oh, let me tell you, I can doubt better than anybody. I could teach you how to doubt. You know, Romans 8:28 sounds all good and fine. I can doubt that verse really good. There's a little thing in there that says, to them that love the Lord. And I go, well, maybe I don't love them the way I should. So that's why things aren't going to work out. You know, I can doubt anything. I can come up with it. But I have to look at doubt square in the face and say, I'm going to rip your head off. Feed you to the birds. Because you're coming after me to destroy me, to ruin me, to make me useless, and I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to let it happen. Doubt, fear, bitterness, discouragement, these things can take a perfectly sunny day and make it rain. Can make a perfect meal taste bitter. These things can. Turn to Psalms 42. The Lord has promised that everything will come out right. Why do we ruin perfectly good days? You know, I realized that there were days I was letting my kids pass me by. I was missing their lives in fear and worry. And I had to stop myself and say, today is a good day. I have these children that love me. They're good children, and I need to go and have a good time with them and stop the worrying, stop the despairing. In Psalms 42, verse 3, he begins to describe his discouragement. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? We talked about this morning how it doesn't look so good when you're down there in the pit. And the world mocks because you're nobody down there in the pit. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I pour it out and I have a conversation within myself. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. I went to church on the Sabbath. But there was no Sabbath in my heart. I stopped from my work, but there was no rest in my heart. And so in verse 5, he had an argument with the soul, which is what we need to do. Every day, I talk about this a lot. Every day, every time we come to church, every day you need an argument within your soul. And he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's the matter with you? What is wrong that you are cast down? He said, why art thou disquieted in me, moaning? Does your soul moan within you and nobody knows it? Inside you is pain, and no one knows. No one can hear it but you. He had an argument with his soul, and he said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He repeats this verse two other times, one more at the end of this chapter and one more at the end of chapter 43. But he has an argument. What is wrong with you? Rest in the Lord. We know better. We know more. But we don't often apply it, and we need to have that argument. This argument is how you defeat Goliath. In that argument, in your mind, in your heart, this is where the battle's won. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of wickedness in high places. It's not a battle with swords and spears. Oh, there's many aspects of this battle. We fight not only for ourselves, but we fight for others. The book of Jude says of others having compassion, making a difference, save with fear, pulling them from the fire. You know, I get in my car sometimes and I head down to the hospital to visit a church member. And I'm going down there to make war. I'm going down there to rescue their soul from discouragement. I can't save their body. There's nothing I can do for them today as far as their body goes. But you know, David said, this day I'll defeat you. There is a Goliath you can defeat today. You can't defeat financial troubles today. It may not be given to your power. God may or may not do that, but you can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee that today I can go and defeat discouragement. I can go and beat that. God will give that to you today. Division, he will give that to you today. Bitterness, whatever it is, he'll give it to you today. You go and make war with that, and he will give that to you today. You can. It is his will that those things be put away. There should be no question. It was no question to David that he was going to defeat Goliath. When he talked to Saul, he said, there was no question. Don't you think God would have us defeat this? Don't you think God would have us rescue all of Israel? Of course. Of course he would. There's no question about it. This day, today, you can put away these things. You don't have to wait till another day. You don't have to say, oh, well, maybe we can, maybe we can't. No. The Bible tells us that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've been given everything that pertains to the spiritual realm. We may not win the physical victories. We may lose our houses. We may face terrible economic things, but you do not have to be sad and discouraged. You do not have to give up. You do not have to stop serving the Lord. You do not have to throw in the towel. This day, you can defeat those things. But many are spiritual wimps today. They're spiritual wimps, and I'm afraid it's simply out of a lack of knowledge. Everybody wants to be the David. Everybody wants to defeat Goliath, but they never have figured out who that is. They don't know what the enemies of the church are. You know, the enemy of the church is not having mismatched interior. You know, that's not the enemy of the church. The enemy of the church is division and discouragement. These are the enemies of the church. We need to understand what those are. The enemies of your home, you need to know what they are. Recognize them. You don't want to be a wimp. Nobody wants to be a wimp. But many are losing the battle today because they simply just don't understand. They simply do not know. The Bible says, we've all known this. We all know it by heart. I'm sure there's not a person in here that doesn't know that Satan walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's none of us that don't know that. We all know that. We all know the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We all know these things, but we don't often make war the way we ought to. War for our loved ones. War for our church. You need to, I know you just completed a study on the church covenant here. And the church covenant says, endeavor. Each one of you needs to endeavor to war for the church. War for your home. War for these things. Defeat these things in your home, in your life. Put them away. Have an argument with your soul. Many of you have observed the Sabbath every day of your life and yet have never observed it. Have never rested in your soul. Some of you may be because you're lost. You have not received Jesus Christ, the Sabbath of your soul. We do not understand what trusting in the Lord is. Trusting in him is recognizing that he can take care of it. That's trusting in him. Hebrews 11 tells us that trusting in him is more than just knowing that he created the universe. He goes on to say that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left his house. They lived a certain way every day by faith. Jesus, we find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Have you ever rested in him? Have you ever told all the demons and all the things that come into your mind, be quiet? I'm going to look to the Savior today. I'm going to look to him for all the problems that I cannot solve. David said, I come in the name of the Lord. You come with swords and spears, but I come in the name of Jehovah. I come in the name of Jesus. Have you ever let him be your rest? Many of us, even that are saved, are not very practiced at making him our rest. And many have never made him their rest, they're lost. Have you rested in him? Have you really, really ever just said, I know it's all okay in the blood of Jesus Christ? Because he gave me perfect standing with God the Father, I know that it's okay. Have you ever rested in him? That's what the Sabbath was meant to be, a rest unto your soul. That's what the Bible says. A rest unto your soul. Has your soul ever rested on the Sabbath? Have you ever ceased from worrying, ceased from balancing the checkbook in your mind, and ceased from these things? You know, we have a habit when prayer is answered of saying, the Lord is good. And he is good when he answers prayer. But we need to understand and argue with ourselves and realize that he's always good. A rainy day down here is never changes him. He's always good. And as much as we know that, it's very hard to get to the place where we remember, no matter what the day is like, to say, Lord, you are good. I'm going to praise you because I know what you are. I'm not going to let my praise to God be affected by my day. But we do. I just don't feel like singing today. I just don't feel like praising him today. Whether you feel like it or not, today he's worthy of it. And today he has done things for you, if you're a child of God, that are worthy of it. Amen. David said there in that verse, those three verses, he said, for I shall yet hope in God. I shall yet praise him. He knew that God was yet working things that he would praise him for. I don't know what it is, but there are things yet in my life that I'm going to praise God for. He's worked them out today. He worked them out yesterday. They've been worked out since all eternity. And there's coming a day that he's going to reveal them to me, and I'm going to praise him for them. So don't get angry at him. You don't know all the things that he's done and worked for you. You will yet praise him. Recognize, understand who the Goliath is in your life. That's very key, and yet it's so easy to forget. I preach part of this message to our people, and it remains to be a daily thing. I have to readjust. There have been so many things, you know, simple little things. Check engine light. Boy, that one can get you down, can it? I'm getting used to it. I've had it on a few vehicles. It's never turned out too bad. The little things like that, they come your way. They can get you. They can add up. They can come on top of each other. You know, Goliath had other brothers that were as large as him that some of David's men defeated by his example. There'll be other things. Recognize what they are, that you might war a good warfare for your family and for your church. Brother Larry, come.